tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I am so excited about the show today. So I'm going to start off with a little story. I guess I'm a skeptic. And back in 1993-ish, it might have been early 94, my girlfriend at the time, had said, you need to go talk with this psychic. And I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding. What a crock of crap. But she was my girlfriend, and so I wasn't going to diss this idea. So I finally kind of said, okay, great. Now, to be honest with you, we had not been connected long, and I thought I was the smartest guy in the room. So I had concocted what I was going to do. And the deal was, I was adopted at birth. And I, of course, had my adopted mother who was still living, but I also had developed a relationship with my biological mother. So I thought, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in for this reading, so to speak. And when the time comes for question, I was going to ask the question, so tell me, what's the relationship with my mother? Thinking that this is the trick up question that will expose the fact that this doesn't work. Well, here's what happened. I went in, I sat down. There was a short prayer at the beginning, and the lady began to talk with me, and about 3.5 to 4 minutes in, and it was recorded, she said, you know, there's just something strange. She said, I just have to ask you a question. I'm getting this sense about your mother, and it's almost as if you have two, and I can't quite put my finger on it. And that completely discombobulated me and said, oh my goodness, maybe there is something true to this. And I have to admit, after the reading was over, she suggested I talk with another lady who happened to be there, who literally sat down and told me things about my relationship with my ex-wife that I had, no one else in the world would have known. So I have to say, I got connected with the idea that there are people who are gifted, who have the ability to connect in this realm and outside of this realm. And today, my guest, Hans Christian King, he is known worldwide. He shares spiritual wisdom. He is considered a modern day true mystic. He has a direct voice on this side as well as the other. And, you know, I have to say, whenever Brian Weiss says he is a superb psychic and a medium whose accuracy of hits is impressive, that speaks volumes. And then you have Michael Bernard Beckwith, who says Hans is not only authentic, he has the capacity to take us places within ourselves we've never been. Hans, thank you. It is such an honor to have you on the show.
It's a joy for me as well, Chuck. I'm very happy to be here for you and your wonderful people. And it's a beautiful day here in Palm Springs, California. And I'm looking forward to the show.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I've been to Palm Springs several times. And first time I was there, hot as blue blazes in the middle
that's
of
the
summer.
That's the summer.
Oh, yeah. But oh, my goodness, how totally beautiful. It's like being in another world. Never had a clue.
It really, I'm very blessed. I live here part of the year, and then I live in Asheville, North Carolina, the other part, up in the mountains. So I get the best of both worlds.
Well, now that is the best of both worlds, because I live in Greenville, South Carolina, and as far as I'm concerned, Asheville is the place. I love it.
I go to your Costco twice a month.
Well, then we're going to have to personally meet
absolutely.
At some point.
I drive down the hill, and the two of us, we go, my partner and I, we go to Costco. Sometimes Spartanburg, but sometimes Greenville. Depends.
Not a problem. So, Hans, let me start the program today with this, and that's a question to you. Is spirit telling you anything that I or my listeners need to hear?
Yes. Their spirit is very concerned by the degree of fear in the country. The degree of fear is staggering. The news, everything's coming to get us, nothing's right. They want us to know that we are evolving towards the light. Be patient. It's a better world than it was 50 years ago or 70 years ago when we were killing millions of people all over the planet. It is a better time. But people have begun to buy into the fear and the panic mode and money situation. And Spirit says, return to source for your peace. And that's the message I would like your listeners to know. Return to source for your peace. And that sounds airy-fairy. I understand that. But there is a part of you that is linked directly to the other side every day. And that is the source you come from. That's who you pray to. But that source can be operated in your life. I just did a seminar for Michael Beckwith at Agape University, and the title was Walking in Two Worlds at the Same Time. And that's what I'm trying to help people to do, is to remember that their source, we walk away from our source rather than walk towards it.
You know, Hans, it's interesting. It's interesting that you say that, and I believe that. I guess what I would say to you is the fear that is in play.
Yes.
Also seems to be a bit divisive. In other words, you say, well, you're connected to source.
That's correct.
And the first thing then that pops up is, but the people who are bought into fear would say, well, what source? See, my source has to be the right source, not your source.
Is it
the Christian source, the Muslim source, the Jewish source?
That is not a source. That is a belief system. That is not a source. I believe, I said on national television a while back, I believe the greatest destructive thing in the world today is human mind chatter.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that mind chatter is dragging our people down the drain, literally, through fear. Fear of growing old, fear of not being pretty enough, fear of not being good enough, fear, fear, fear. When the truth of the matter is that just who we are today is perfect for God. And nothing we're going to do, nothing we're going to acquire, nothing we're going to accomplish will we ever get to keep. Nothing. So that we're here for the experience of lessons that we wanted to learn. And all we have to do, what do we do when we get really scared? We pray. I'm just simply saying it doesn't matter whether you're Buddhist or Muslim, whatever you are, that's wonderful. But there, I had a dear friend named Swami Satchitananda who used to say, truth is one, paths are many.
Ooh, I like that.
There's only one truth, and there are many paths to that truth. So
right.
Muslims have one path, the Christians have another path, and so they all play off of each other. And right now, I believe that if we could get human mind chatter under control, which I don't think that's going to happen for a while, we'd be fine. You know, you can go to any other country. Go north into Canada, they have no fear. Go south into Mexico, they have no fear. I had a taxi driver in Mexico the other day ask me why we were such a fearful nation.
Interesting.
And I said, well, what do you believe? He says, well, we have a saying here in Mexico that says, the God that took care of yesterday is taking care of today and will take care of tomorrow. Stop worrying.
Oh, I like that as well.
You see, we don't believe. That's the problem. We believe what we see and hear, which is an illusion.
So is it, and we've got a few minutes before our first break, but sure. Is it that that fear sells and it's
yes,
there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. Thank you. Fear sells. People want to be afraid. I was in a panel. I know we have a time thing, but I was in a panel recently, and there were a bunch of doom and gloomers, and they're all well known. And a bunch of doom and gloomers, and they went all down. This was going to happen. That was going to happen. The other thing was going to happen. And they got to me. And they said, Mr. King, what do you think? I says, none of it is going to happen. It never does.
It never does. What does that mean?
Okay, you remember the most recent one was 2012?
Oh, yes, of course.
And everything was going to change, and they knew it for a fact. And so I'm on another panel. And they say, you don't seem to be the least bit concerned about this. I said, I'm not. They said, why? I said, because I live in Merida, Mexico, in the middle of the Yucatan Peninsula with the Mayans. And they have no idea what we're talking about. None whatsoever. They said, we never said it was coming to an end. I went all into the villages everywhere, and they all said, we don't know what they're talking about. We never said such a thing. But do you know that there was $1 billion just from trips to Yucatan and the fear of what to do and getting food in? $1 billion worth of sales for a lie.
$1 billion worth of sales for a lie. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Hans King. He is he can walk in both worlds. And I think we have started this with a great, great beginning. We're going to be back after this break, and we'll talk a bit more about the lie of fear. Stick with me. Well, we're back with Straight Talk Radio here with Chuck Gallagher. My guest is Hans King. And during the break, we happened to be talking a little bit about the beginning. As I started the show, I said, well, I went to see a psychic. But Hans and I were talking about the difference between a psychic and a medium and what that really means. And, you know, there are plenty of people who don't connect the idea that either are real. But so, Hans, let's just to clarify things, talk to us a little bit about what you would call the difference and what it means and how you learn to connect on the other side.
Well, that's a very good question. I never learned, Chuck. Okay. When I was about 3 years old, sir, I started seeing people at the foot of my bed, literally seeing people at the foot of my bed. And they were very tall. And one of them was a Native American man, and he would come every night to my room, and he would say to me, the first time he said to me, are you ready? And I thought, oh my gosh, what is this about? And I just felt myself rising off the bed, and I went on a journey. And that journey took me to a place where I learned, and I would come back and tell people about this. Say, oh, you have a vivid imagination. But those places and those things that I was taught came true. It all okay. came true. So I just this month entered my 60th year of doing readings and classes. So I've been doing it for 12 years. So now you know I'm 72. Okay. What I was saying to you is if you're wanting to get in contact with the other side, if you're wanting to sort of see how your path is going to go, find a reputable medium. And they're out there. They're out there. Ask people who have been to this person. Get a list of referrals from this person so that you know that where you're going, it isn't just about the money. It's about the quality of the truth.
Right. That makes sense.
That's what's important. And luckily for you, the person you went to wasn't a psychic, although they thought they were. They were a medium because psychics can't talk to the other side. They're two different things. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but they're just two different things. That's all.
Fascinating. It had to be an unusual experience for you as a young person to experience this, and then at 12 to begin sharing that information with other people.
It was. It was indeed.
Now, you've done this for 60 years. I get that.
That's right.
And that's longer than my lifetime at this point.
Yes, it is, actually.
But have you found, I have to ask this, have you found the experience to be different? Is it easier? Is it clearer for you with years of experience, or is it the same?
This is what's interesting. When I was a young man in school, they thought I was a witch. And they would, the girls would try to find out information about the boys, and the boys would try to keep it from happening. So they would threaten to beat me up. But when I was 13, I was already 6'3".
Okay.
So that didn't work too well. But it was interesting. They used to say, Mr. and Mrs. King have a very strange son. And I guess you can say that's true. Because in my 60 years, I've seen over 60,000 people in 1 hour sessions alone. That doesn't include the I think about 1,500 radio shows, television shows, classes, lectures, all that. So as you grow older in the work and you become just a little more well-known, not famous, but more well-known, it becomes easier for the reader then, and the person that I am, because they already know you do it.
I see.
You see, as a younger person, they thought I was strange. Now they think I'm unique. So, but it's still, it's off the grid. It's still off the grid for me. Wherever I go, there's great, the people treat me so beautifully, but they're still wondering this one thing. Can he read my mind? See, they think I read their mind, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. I don't do that.
So I have a dear friend who is, I guess I would call her very empathetic.
Yes.
And she described, apparently I'm not, but she describes it like, well, I go to the grocery store or I'm around lots of people and I'm always being bombarded with them.
Right.
And so therefore, in many cases, she tries to avoid places where there are crowds. And now, okay, I'm going to call stupid to me, but you know, stupidly enough, I say, well, why don't you just put up a force field around yourself so you don't receive it?
That's not stupid. That's correct.
So,
and that can be done, but a lot of people feel that if they do that, they'll lose their connection.
I see.
But there is a difference. I'd be happy to speak to that lady and give her a couple of little tools to help her. But you did a misquote here. You were born clairsentient.
Okay, now what does that mean?
That means that you have a way of knowing things sometimes without seeing them or hearing them. You just have a gut feeling.
Okay.
And your soul wants to serve and make a difference, correct?
It does. That is true.
Okay. So given that you have this this sensitivity, you could learn to turn that into something a little more powerful than what you have now. But it's entirely up to you. But you have what we call the vibrational tones to receive information if you want it.
Interesting. And so we'll need to talk about that in more detail. And I'm fascinated by that. I want to tell you a quick story. And
yes,
I'm just being led to do this. Years ago, I had been through a fairly significant life transformation and ended up in Raleigh, North Carolina. And one night I had a terrible time sleeping. And that's not normal for me. So I got up, went downstairs, sat down at the computer and said, you know, I just need to do something. And 2 hours later, I had written 2 chapters in a book. Mm-hmm. And it was a message that it's called Message from the Mountain. And it was a message that I was receiving from what I considered a spirit guide called That's the correct. Old Woman from the Mountain.
That's correct.
And it was fascinating, Hans, because the only time I could actually write the book was when I was in a physically high place. Like, for mm-hmm. example, if I was in Asheville or Burnsville, or
right.
actually on an airplane. But if I was someplace where the elevation was high,
that's correct.
I was able to receive.
I mean, this is funny, but you're closer to the source.
Okay. So, you know, there's a part of me that says, okay, you know, although I love Greenville, I need to live in Asheville or someplace nearer there because it almost feels like the vibration would be easier to receive.
It is. It absolutely is. I live a little higher up on the side of a mountain, and I have a space in my home for classes, lectures, things like that. But I go back to what I said. You have a way through your clairsentience that if you wanted to develop that even more, you could do whole books, lectures, workshops. You could actually see individuals and help them one-on-one. You do have that gift, Chuck.
And so how does one, if a person, whether it's me, and I appreciate this, but whether it's me or whether it's someone else that has the gift, how does one go about developing that?
Set the intention. Everything in life starts with an intention, whether it's this coffee cup made in Oaxaca, Mexico. The person had to set the intention, had to find the clay, had to set the intention to mold it. Our dear Chinese friends like to say the longest journey starts with the first step. Hmm. So if you wonder about it, it will not happen. if you set your intention, we know science has now proven that energy follows thought. So when you set your intention, everything begins to come and focus on that idea. If you were to ask anyone who has written a book, who's very famous for whatever their endeavor is, somewhere in the book they will say these words in one form or another, and I always knew it.
Makes sense.
They didn't write a book thinking it wouldn't be read. They didn't write a book thinking it wouldn't be published. They wouldn't design a car thinking nobody would buy it. You see what I'm getting at?
Absolutely.
So their intention was connected to their source. You also have some clairvoyancy. And if you put your intention to it, I think you would be pleased. I'm not trying to make you a bit airy-fairy here on your television show, but you have some of those gifts. And a lot of people do. They don't know they have them. Women call it women's intuition. Men call it a gut feeling. But you have some gifts. And I think in your shows, I'm being told right now that in your shows, that comes out from time to time. Your wisdom comes out. You don't think you're that smart, do you?
No, I know I'm not that smart.
I'm sure not.
No, I've been proven I'm not that smart. At one time, I might have thought I was that smart.
Oh, one time I thought I had every answer before the question was asked.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I will tell you, and I know we're running up on a break here, but in my younger years, I thought I was that smart until it ultimately collapsed on me, and I ended up going to federal prison. And at that point, I found out
that held you up short, didn't it?
Oh, it surely did. It absolutely did. You know, when we get back from our break, we're going to talk about the idea of setting an intention, which I think is incredibly important. But Hans, I also want to tie it back to this idea of fear, because it seems that if you subscribe to and buy into the fear, that is the thing that is the block to setting that intention, which means you're stifled and it keeps one from moving forward.
Absolutely true. There's your wisdom. You have it.
Oh, well, you are such a kind person. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Hans Christian King. He is a well-known medium across the world and obviously a person who has the ability to, by a gift, connect and help those that he talks with. And I'm receiving that as part of a blessing here right now. So stick with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we're back with Hans Christian King. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. So you have to understand on the radio show, and the truth is on YouTube, you don't see the breaks and you don't hear the commercials. And so there's always a little bit of time to carry on a conversation. And so here we are. And Hans, if you don't mind, just repeat what you were saying about what you were seeing, because there's a interesting line of talk that I think will take place.
All righty. Well, during the break, I've been seeing a father figure standing behind you on your left side, and he puts his hand on your shoulder, and he said to me, Hans, will you ask him, that would be you, if he knows, in fact, his father does love him? And then he said to me, I never got to know him the way I should have gotten to know him. And then he said, but then again, I never got to know myself. And I want to say to you, that doesn't make your father a bad person, sir. And he does love you, but he doesn't think that you get that because of his behavior.
So for those people who are listening on the radio, and if you see this, I have to tell you, number one, that's touching to my heart. And I'm doing the best I can to kind of maintain some control in the conversation.
Now, that's just fine. But whenever you touch truth with spirit, you can feel it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a fascinating conversation because you and I have never met. We have never talked. I was adopted at birth.
So was I.
And my father died a month or so before I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. So although I know he loved me because he chose me.
That's correct.
We never were able to develop a bond.
No.
And in my life, I have never truly had a father to develop that bond
mm-hmm.
with. And so I suppose there would be always that question, although I may not be conscious of it on a day-to-day basis, of am I loved
That's
by
correct.
My father?
That's right. And remember something. I want to correct one thing you said. He didn't choose you. We choose our parents for the value of the lesson our soul chose to learn. So, in effect, he did choose you while you chose him.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
I do agree.
So it's a mutual agreement is what I'm saying to you.
Right, right.
He says that if you would like, he could talk to you through automatic writing, which you can learn to do. Okay?
Oh, that's awesome.
And that he would be happy to put his intention towards your intention so that it appears on the paper. There'll be no doubt in your mind. He did say also that he wants you to know that he did and still does love your mother. Okay? Right. I don't know the relationship. I don't know anything about it. But you also have a child in the spirit world that's linking around you, and I don't know where that fits. Did you lose a baby?
Yes.
Thank you. There's a child here who would like to say hello and to be remembered to you. And they said they have peace and they found their way. It's sort of cute because I see this sort of like a knight in shining armor. Someone who's breaking mountains down into hills, into rocks, into dust and blow them away for you. So I want you to know he loves you and says best regards.
Absolutely amazing the ability for that to take place, the capacity for that, and how touching it is when a person is open to be willing to receive.
That's the key. That's right.
Our mind
tries to destroy our truth. It makes up. Our mind makes up everything. It lies to us on a continuous basis. It never says to us, you're beautiful, I love you, you're going to have a wonderful day. It says, oh my God, you know, you're getting old, you're getting fat. Oh, you know, where's the paycheck? The rent is due. That's what the mind does.
Right.
But if you go back into your heart, all of those bills and all of that gets paid, always.
So, Hans, I'm not really sure exactly how to ask this question, but obviously when people come to you, they already have the intention set. They're open to receiving.
That's correct.
But there seem to be so many people that probably are listening to the show, and certainly that call me. They say, well, I've been to prison, but I don't know how to get my second chance, and I don't know how to do this, and I'm a convicted felon, and they get all tied up.
Yes, but that was then. Here. That was another person. You are not that person then. This is a new person. This is Chuck. This is a new life for Chuck. Spirit never judges us on what we do, only on the intention.
So when you're looking at setting intention, and let me time out, Michael, for a second, okay? Because on my screen, Hans is frozen. Now it moves. So is it okay with you?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay, as long as it's good on your side, it's absolutely fine on mine.
Yeah, and you're fine on my side too.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go back to setting intention. So
okay.
Three, two, one. So it's all then, Hans, about setting the intention.
Yes.
But I don't know how to put this. My father-in-law, for example, watches Fox News all the time, and he just lives in fear.
Yes.
And it's like, so I could sit there and say, well, there's nothing to be fearful. Just set the intention of what you want. And he can't see past the fear.
No, he can't. He believes the illusion of his life, and he believes the illusion of Fox.
Okay.
And now, we have a saying in metaphysics that sounds just terrible, but it's a truism. It says, not my problem.
In Fair
other
enough.
Words, spiritually speaking, that other people are doing, the problems they're causing, none of that is your problem. It's only your problem if you allow the pain or the dysfunction of that, Chuck, into your life. Then it becomes your problem.
So I've got to ask you this question, and boy, this is I'm going straight personal on this one.
That's fine.
I'm in it. I believe exactly what you're saying, but I have the doggondest time being in people's presence, in his presence, to be candid, when everything that comes out of his mouth is negative and based on
I
fear.
hear that. I agree with you 100%.
And
You know what you do?
what?
Quietly say, "Bless you. I pray you find your way." And you can say to spirit of that moment, I choose not to be surrounded by this fear and this negativity." And I would say to your lovely wife, "There are things I can do and things I can't do." And you can be nice, but you can also say, "I won't be there when the TV is on." And I have a lot of those people who are actually clients of mine. What they're not when they leave, but they are when they arrive, okay? But there is something that happens, Chuck, when you say internally to that person, "Bless you. I pray you find your way." There's a magic that begins to happen to that person. I've seen it 2,000-3,000 times.
Wow.
Okay. Dr. James Allen wrote a wonderful book called As a Man Thinketh. I think everybody's read it at some time in their life.
Absolutely.
And in the beginning, it says it's important to remember that they themselves are makers of themselves. When we stop living, see, Fox broadcasts the victimization of society.
Right.
I say to you, they do that because it sells.
Right.
O'Reilly's number one in cable news. He keeps forgetting to say that. He doesn't say, he says he's number one in news. No, he's number one in cable news, not number one in news. Now, you can choose to surround yourself in joy. You can turn on MSNBC, for instance. You can turn on the Discovery Channel. You can do whatever you want. But you must know that when you set yourself up for that kind of situation, and you have the sensitivities that you have, you're going to get clobbered with that. So I would remove myself as much as possible from that situation. I don't know how to tell you to do that. It's not easy.
Well, and that's the challenge, you know, to be totally honest with you, when you're around what I would call toxic people, yes, I agree with you. It is reasonable and somewhat simple to just remove yourself from the toxic person,
That's
unless you
right.
happen to be related to them. And then it's like, well, okay, you know, you've got to do the proverbial, let's go out to dinner once every 3 weeks,
But you
and then
don't,
it's
there's a difference between listening and hearing. You say,
okay.
"Oh dear,
Okay.
that's not supposed to do that, guys. I don't know who that is."
No problem.
I don't know how to shut that off. Alfred should come running in here in a second and turn. However, what
It's
is
spirit calling.
it may be. It may be spirit calling. I don't know. But what I would say to you is this. You can choose to be around peace and joy, or you can choose to be around things that disconnect you from the peace and the joy. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to walk around being all airy-fairy every day. I'm not going there. But when you set your intention every day to reconnect to the source and say, "I wonder what's in this for me today. What is it I'm going to learn today?" I have a friend who's now 102 by doing that. And
Amazing.
60 years ago, they told her she wouldn't live another 3 years. Her heart was so bad.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Return to source always. I know it sounds very airy-fairy again, but it's true.
So, returning to source raises an interesting question, and we're pushing up on a break right now. But I want to talk with us when we get back about what we do see, and if everything in life that's happening is happening for our growth and for the lessons that we learn,
Yes.
then there are some things that seem to be, we'll call them negative or of a lower vibration.
That's correct. Okay.
And the
After.
question, and after the break, let's talk about the lower vibration things and what we learn from them. This is
Sure.
Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Hans Christian King. We'll be back in just a minute. This has been a great interview, and I'm looking forward to coming back. Stick with us. My guest is Hans Christian King, and wow, what a fun experience. This has been quite a ride here on Straight Talk Radio. My guest is Hans Christian King. This is Chuck Gallagher, and we've been talking about setting intention and issues of fear. And so I have to ask this question. There are a lot of things that are of a high vibration or of a low vibration.
Yes.
So I'm sitting there watching television the other day. Don't do that much. Don't watch them with commercials. And I just get it from Apple TV. But I was watching Sons of Anarchy, which most everyone would say is clearly a low vibration show.
It is.
And my wife was like, I can't believe you're watching that. It's such a low vibration. We don't need to fill the house with that. And my response was, it's just entertainment. And the reality for me is I'm not absorbing it. I see it. I watch it. There's some interesting little things that come up as part of it. But I don't absorb that energy.
The higher vibration of you are correct, doesn't. But we all have higher and lower vibration.
Right.
Your lower vibration does. I had a dear friend again, Swami Satchitananda, and he used to say, if you allow anything to disturb your ease, you will become diseased.
Hmm.
In other words, when we feed our lower vibration through watching difficult television or being around difficult people, it does linger in the lower aspect of our consciousness. We just don't see it.
Ah, okay.
Okay, we don't see it. We think that, okay, we're bigger than that and we can get around that. Not always the case. Not always the case. So I call that the lower higher self.
Okay.
And sometimes without meaning to, we feed the lower higher self. And the job of the lower higher self is to disconnect us from source, from our heart chakra, because it believes the mind knows it all. Okay? It knows it all. So every day when someone wakes up, they need to know that just who they are in this moment is enough for God. There's nothing they need to do, nothing they need to go, nowhere need to go, nothing whatsoever. They already are enough for God because we are not judged, period. That's just humanness doing that. We have to watch out. The reason I'm leading into this is fear. We have to watch that the absorption of that type of fear eventually builds up and does affect our life.
Okay. So the reality, my wife's going to love this, but the reality of it is so I'm sitting there and my lower self is watching it and finding whatever entertainment there
because
may
your
be
lower
for.
Self is the one that's actually watching it and you're giving permission to him to watch this.
Gotcha.
Your higher self would say, what are you doing? why are you putting us through this? And your lower self, because it's different, because it's interesting. And the reality shows today are lower source based, almost all of them.
Well, I guess, Hans, isn't it fundamentally true that most things, because it's driven by sales, is probably more lower source?
Yes, it absolutely is true. It's true. And one of the things people can do when they're in a situation and their mind is running amok, they can turn to the mind and say, hold on, is what I'm hearing and what I'm thinking actually true?
Fair enough.
And if you get an I don't know, then stop thinking about it. Because you're wasting your time. You can turn to spirit for everything, and especially when you open the door to fear. They will help you have a situation where they can put a plexiglass wall in front of you and the fear. And although you may see it, it will not get to the lower part of you at all.
So when you are dealing with someone who is, it's a very judgmental way of saying it, but fear-based.
Yes.
What are the things, the tips, if there are such things, but what could I say? What could you say? What are the questions that can penetrate that blockade of fear to actually go in and perhaps draw out something that is not so lowerly vibrationally generated.
I usually say to people who watch Fox, and I do know some people who do, do you believe anything you hear is true? And they, oh, yes, it's, has it been proven true? Do you know for a fact it's true? Or is your mind chatter wanting to believe that it is true? You can pull them out bit by bit and say, okay, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Then why are you still watching the same source? And when people begin to believe, wait a minute, maybe that isn't true, then they question everything. They question everything. But the power of the mind chatter is so strong. But one of the things the Spirit taught me years ago that was that who someone is and their behavior are two different things.
Now, talk to me about that.
Well, who someone is how they've learned to be, but that doesn't mean that's who they are.
Ah, okay.
You see, so when people are judging another person for saying this, all the great belief systems have said, judge not lest ye be judged.
Right.
Because you've never walked in that man's moccasins, so you don't know why he's watching that program. You don't know what fear or what happened to him caused him to do that. So at that moment, you say, bless him. Help him to find his light. I had a husband once who came to me, was absolutely, I thought he was going to kill me. I really did, because I had told his wife something. And I turned to him and I said, sir, is it true? And he started screaming at me. I said, that's not what I ask you. I said, is it true? He says, yes, it's true, and it's destroying my marriage. I said, it's not. You are.
Oh, how powerful.
You're destroying your marriage by this thing. It means you don't trust your wife to sort this out with you and give her a chance to say something on an issue that if you don't will destroy your marriage. Always comes back to truth.
Now, this might be a bit of a shift in gears. We only have a few more minutes left.
But I
have a fundamental belief that everything happens for a reason.
If that's correct.
The challenge becomes we don't always know what that reason is.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the fact that you have been very kind in this conversation, I mentioned earlier that I had, I'm 7 weeks, almost eight now, out of back surgery.
Yeah.
And so
if I was carrying as much stuff as you are carrying, I would have had back surgery as well.
Ah, interesting.
You need to let go, sir, of the prison.
Okay.
All old souls, like you, like me, are born with major self-esteem issues. Therefore, they're placed in earlier part of their life into situations to make good choices and difficult choices. Sometimes we make a difficult choice, but that doesn't say who we are. And anything that happened back then, the only thing that you bring forward is the goodness that it might have taught you, and that's it.
So the takeaway would be, in the short time we have, as I learn to do that, that releases the physical strain on my back.
That is absolutely correct. It does.
Okay.
Because you're very sensitive, sir, I mean vibrationally sensitive, you have picked up a lot of stuff from what has happened in your life, and it's still being stored in your body. Now, it's time to talk to the body and say, it's okay now. We're not going back then.
Right.
I love you. Say to yourself, I love you no matter what. You're my best friend, and I'm not going to allow anything to hurt you again. And you start talking to yourself.
Now, we have a minute left, and I want that minute to be devoted to you. So talk to our audience about whatever Spirit leads for you to give us this last guidance.
One of the things I'd like to help everybody with is that after end of my radio show every Saturday, I say, and remember, please, that God does not love anyone more in this world than you. I said that to a group of 1,400 people recently, and tears poured down their face because most people don't have that understanding. And as I said, what kind of a God would you pray to that loves someone more than you? I'd fire that God and get me a new one. And that's what I say. They need to realize their own importance with God. They are not adrift. They are not alone. They do not have to listen to their mind chatter. They have to go to the mirror and say, I don't know who you are, but I promise you I'm going to find out. And when I do, I'm going to take very good care of you. You are my best friend. And again, I love you very much. And if you do that 2 and 3 times a week, your life will change.
My guest is Hans Christian King. That is the best advice I think I've ever heard on this show. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I don't need to add anything more other than thank you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.